So this is a ministry of you, of our church, that we all participate in. Next to it, you'll see a pan. And what might that represent? I'm sorry, God's kitchen. I understand the United Methodist men serve a kicking breakfast every Sunday morning. I haven't tried it yet, but I really should. Caring committee. What is the caring committee? They care. Ken on Emily, you know. They care. Okay, what do they do? Meals for people who are in need, who are grieving, who come home from the hospital and don't have the means to care for themselves. And one thing I've learned about Calvary in the very short time I've been here is we know how to feed. We do. I'm serious. Think about it. We do amazing feeding ministry at this church. Absolutely amazing. In so many different ways. We're talented, our heart's in it, and a lot of people's lives are impacted by your ability to feed them. And then there's this question mark on the front. When I first saw it, I thought the Riddler was in church today. But what might that question mark mean? What else can we do? Can I change that just a little bit? Okay. What else might God be asking us to do? What else might God already have a purpose for us in service within our community or the world that we have not yet discovered? In other words, what's next? You can see where we are touching lives deeply. And yet, I think God has more work ahead for us. When we all come into the church, we come, and I'll tell you, it's kind of a culture shock. I don't know if you were brought up, if you're cradle Christian, you probably didn't go through this all at one time. For those of you that have come to Christianity later in life, I can promise you, when you probably walked in the first time, you were like, what is going on in here? Because we have our own lingo. We have our own language. We have our own ways of stand up, sit down, pray, right? We do things that many of us have just become so comfortable in that we don't even stop to think about it. But when someone comes into our midst who is new to this experience, they're holding on for dear life. Because what we do that seems like our own pattern is so different than anything they have experienced. And so they are in need of someone to guide them, to sit with them, to explain the difference between the United Methodist hymnal and the faith we sing. Right? Big book, little book. We think about this, and how do we help them to become comfortable in our midst? It's no mistake that these things are sitting upon the Lord's table, because it was upon this table that Jesus did his work the night that he gave himself up for us. You think that the Last Supper was just a nice meal with fellows around a table? That was Jesus' work. Work that continues to benefit you and me every single day. And because of that, when people come here, they don't know this. They don't understand that that is Christ's work that we are to carry on in the world. We have to teach them. And yet, at the time we come into the church, we are desperately in need of being served. We don't know patterns. We don't know anything about this thing called Christianity. And we need people who are going to be able to serve us, to teach us, to instruct us, to walk beside us, to show us who Jesus is through their words and their arms and their legs. And that is the pathway of service. Moving from needing to be served ourselves into learning how to equip and serve others. As new Christians oftentimes come into the congregation, we look at them and think, oh boy, here's someone for the ministry. Or here's someone for the choir. Or here's someone for the... No offense, Joseph. No problem. But we tend to look at them as a resource, not as a gift from God, that we're supposed to walk alongside and raise up in the faith. And oftentimes, when we come into the church, we have individuals, well-meaning as they are, who do say, we could really use you on this team. And so we join that team, and we work on that team, and we work on that team, and it's 20 years later, and we're working on that team. And then the good horse falls because it has no more. And the thing we don't stop and ask ourselves and others is this the work that God is calling me to do? What are my spiritual gifts for working in the church? And there we get confused between our secular talents and vocations and our work that God has in store for us in the church. We get confused. Oftentimes, if we need this type of work done in the church, we go look at someone who does that type of work in the community, right? And we just think, yeah, we just plug them in here, they already got it. But we don't even stop and ask if that's where God is gifting them for service in the church. I have Jill's permission to use this example. She has been teaching in middle school, oh my God, how does she do it, for 41 years. And yet she is not called to teach in the school of the church. That is not her call. And yet, countless times, individuals have said, well, why aren't you teaching Sunday school? Not my gift. But she is an amazing, amazing missionary. She is an amazing representative of the love of Christ to others who are struggling in their lives. She's an amazing writer. And these are the gifts has discovered and now uses to God's glory. She is a puppet master. Thank you, Harry. At Damascus United Methodist Church, she and another lady started their puppet ministry, which touched countless children and through them, countless adults. Thank you, Harry. And we together give thanks for all the individuals who are using their gifts in the life of the church. What's your gift? Do you know what your gift is for ministry? If you don't, let's help you find out. Because I know that God is gifting this church with everything it needs to thrive. I know that from the core of my being. We just don't know who it is and what it is yet. So let's, as a church, find out. Because that is what we should be using as we look at this question mark about what is God gifting us to be in service to the community and the world. I know this personally. 30 years ago, I would have been the least likely person you ever would have thought would be before you preaching. It's true. And he knows. And God and I had some powerful battles over this. God ripped me out of my career. that I really enjoyed because I was that was my way of serving. And I was doing it, I had done it for decades, and I wanted to continue doing it.
And you were good at it.
I was adequate. And God had a different path for me. And over time, through people like this character over here and others, God convinced me that my giftedness and my secular talents were not the same. And God put it before me to change and serve. Well, I can guarantee you, I came up with every reason possible why I can't. And I convinced myself I can't. But God continued to say to me, that's the wrong statement. If you're going to be truthful, say, I won't. I won't. Because it's not a matter of being able, it's a matter of will. And my prayer at that time was, my will be done. And what God kept saying was, no, my will be done. And so, that's why I stand before you today, is because I acknowledged that God's will needs to be done. And ever since I made that determination, life has been a blessing beyond measure, because God has made it that way. How is God equipping you for ministry in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ? I want to talk about that for just a minute, if I may. Oftentimes we say, well, everything I do is good work. And that's probably true, because everything we do to alleviate pain, suffering, to help individuals through times of trial is good work. But how does that differentiate us as Christians from everyone else in the world who does good work? It's an important question. Why do we do it as Christians? The answer is pretty simple. We do it to be Christ for others. And when we do that to be Christ for others, we don't claim it as our good work. We claim it as Christ before them. And we name it. Now that's where it gets tough. Because it's often okay to sit there and give this bag to someone. But do we do it and say, God loves you? And you are a person of sacred worth. And because God loves you, in his name, take this. Do we do that? Do we witness to our faith through what we offer others and how we serve them? That is a step in our spiritual maturity. There's a word in Greek, diakonos, which means servant or minister. And we see in that word the root of who we are all to be in the name of Jesus Christ. A servant, a minister to others. When we mature in our spiritual understanding of what servanthood really looks like, we begin from moving from being served into serving where and when we choose. You see, we all have patterns in our lives that we've developed over years or decades or half centuries. We have these patterns of getting up and activity and going to bed and getting up and starting all over again. And pretty soon, these patterns become ruts. They become ruts, and they get deeper the more we practice them. Now, I grew up and I learned to drive outside of Chicago. And I driven through some pretty deep snow ruts. Pretty deep. And I can tell you, when you want to turn off of the street and you turn that wheel and it doesn't move, you know what a rut really is. And maybe in your life, you have experienced some of these ruts where you're trying to turn the wheel and guess what? The rut is trying to keep you going straight. So I know how hard it is to shift from the patterns of being served, from the patterns of thinking, yeah, I'm entitled, to changing course, to following new directions, to being outside of the rut. We need to move from having an understanding that we are to be served within the church to an understanding that the whole purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ is to be in service to others. That's why we exist. That's why this table is here. That's why these symbols are here. Because that's who we are. And it's a process, a lifelong process that we go through. As we fully mature in our understanding of service, we live out God's call on our lives. We have those moments of struggle I described to you earlier, and we let go of ourselves. And we permit God to guide us through our giftedness and the opportunities that we have to be able to serve in Christ's name. Because that's really what makes a difference in our services. We do it in His name. Oftentimes we think, well, that all sounds nice, but I'm not sure that's what the church really is all about. Let me correct that. If you wouldn't mind, could you open your hymnal to page 607? You may have heard this before, but if not, please listen and read along as I read it. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside by thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Amen. This morning, as we come to our time of offering, I encourage us to remember back to our baptismal promises. At 11 o'clock, we're having a baptism. And we will remind the church and you now at this time that we participate through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. During this time of offering today, what are the gifts that God is giving you for service? And how can you use them to take the next step in your discipleship journey today? Amen. Amen.